Literature reviews. The IP is expected to be a subject matter expert in the facility regarding the current literature on hospital epidemiology. Conducting literature reviews is a key method for maintaining and advancing one's expertise in any given field. In terms of healthcare and IPC, many articles and reports are published by a number of reputable publishers. These reports can take the form of outbreak investigation summaries, cohort studies, systematic reviews, and more. A literature review can help identify additional avenues of investigation, highlight best practices, and present suggestions for how to address a situation confronting an IP. The National Library of Medicine is a valuable resource here, as it collects articles and studies published by a number of reputable peer-reviewed journals and also official studies. Peer review is the process by which studies and articles are evaluated by one or more persons with similar competencies as the author of the work. For example, an epidemiology study would be peer-reviewed by one or more other epidemiologists. The CDC also publishes a wealth of information, guidelines, and recommendations that are highly valuable to IPs in any healthcare setting, including studies and reports on ongoing outbreaks, diseases, and immunizations. Other useful literature can be found within the American Journal of Infection Control, AJIC, and Infection Control and Hospital Epidemiology, ICHE. When conducting a literature review, an IP must be able to critically evaluate all kinds of published research. This allows the IP to appropriately assign value to the author's conclusions in any given paper, which is an important component of effectively translating research findings into clinical practice. Improved safety and patient care can be accomplished through the application of research findings and by providing patients with evidence-based IPC practices. For these reasons, it is important to understand the basic structure of typical published research papers before beginning the literature review process. One type of research paper is a systematic literature review. Systematic reviews identify, collect, analyze, and summarize empirical evidence related to a specific research question. Some systematic reviews include a meta-analysis, in which statistical methods are used to integrate the results of multiple independent studies. Systematic reviews not only describe what is currently known about a specific question, but can also be used to determine what additional studies should be undertaken to address uncertainties. Papers typically have the following sections. Included here are some questions for IPs to ask when assessing the quality of the published articles. Abstract. This section is a summary of the purposes of the study and its methods, main findings, and conclusions. Many journals follow a structured approach. Ask, is this the right study to be reviewing? Introduction. This section presents the justification for and purpose of the research in the context of the existing problem and its relationship to other current research. Ask, are the research questions to be addressed clearly stated, important, and appropriate? Materials and methods. This section describes the study population, inclusion criteria, and methods used to determine the sample and data analysis. Methods used for biological measures should be clearly stated. Ask, is the choice of study design applicable to the purpose of the study? Is the study population appropriate for the question and adequately described? Are inclusion and exclusion criteria described? For systematic reviews, was bias introduced during study selection? Is the study sample representative of the population of interest? Are the criteria used to measure the exposure and the outcome explicit? Were exposure outcomes of groups evaluated equally and, for randomized clinical trials, did persons blinded to the study arms evaluate outcomes? Are the proportions lost to follow-up in each study arm described? Results. This section should directly address the research questions posed in the introduction. Data are presented narratively and summarized in tables and figures. Statistical analyses should include the appropriate measures of association, summary measures, such as the relative risk or odds ratio, and measures of precision, p-values or confidence intervals. Ask, is the sample size adequate? Are the statistical tests appropriate for the study design? For meta-analyses, were findings from multiple studies pooled despite poor study quality or heterogeneity? Are factors that could have biased the results taken into account? Do the data that are presented in the text, tables, and figures provide an answer to the stated research questions? Discussion. This section includes interpretation of the major findings of the study, a statement of study limitations, and suggestions for applications of the findings and future research. Ask, are the conclusions that are drawn reasonable and justified given the results? Could alternative explanations account for the observed results? When analyzing published articles and studies, it is also important to understand the basic steps used to conduct the research in order to better evaluate the quality of these studies. The preferred reporting items for systematic reviews and meta-analysis statement describes the following steps. The questions below that assess each component have been adapted from the statement. Research question. Does the paper have a clearly defined and focused research question? Protocol. Did the researchers develop and adhere to an explicit review methodology? Literature search. Did the researchers comprehensively search bibliographic databases, identify relevant unpublished studies, review reference lists, and consult experts in the field? Study selection. Did the researchers use predetermined inclusion and exclusion criteria to select studies that address the research question? Quality assessment. Did the researchers use a scale to evaluate the quality of the included studies? Data abstraction. Were multiple reviewers enlisted to abstract essential data in order to ensure accuracy and limit bias? Analysis. Do the meta-analyses in the paper use statistical methods to generate a summary estimate and assess heterogeneity and publication bias? Interpretation. Does the paper provide the results of the review in a clinical practice context? Because many published articles are for single studies, it is important that an IP is also able to critically appraise all kinds of articles, both individually and in the context of other articles and evidence. This might require synthesizing the results and findings from a number of different articles in order to identify points of commonality or shared conclusions related to IPC procedures and policies. The Critical Appraisal Skills Programs Network is an international collaboration that supports teaching and learning critical appraisal skills. To that end, they have published a number of checklists that IPs and others can use to analyze a variety of relevant article types, including systematic reviews, qualitative studies, cohort studies, case control studies, and more. Translating evidence into practice. Even when new evidence-based research findings are available, barriers exist to translating those findings into practice. This can result in gaps between research evidence and clinical practice. The IP may, therefore, need to interpret the evidence that such studies yield so it can be effectively translated into clinical practice. Implementation science is defined as methods used to promote the use of evidence-based practices to improve healthcare quality. This involves translating clinical research findings and evidence-based practices into routine care processes to improve patient care and health outcomes. Translational research is interdisciplinary. It requires expertise in multiple areas, such as basic science, clinical practice, IPC, and epidemiology. It also involves multiple skill sets, including the ability to differentiate between study designs, evaluate the statistical results, identify the interventions with the greatest benefits, communicate the findings, coordinate processes to facilitate the adoption of relevant findings, determine barriers to successful implementation, and innovate approaches for removing barriers. After identifying evidence-based findings that they want to incorporate into their facility's practices and processes, via their literature review, for example, the IP needs to draw on a number of implementation strategies that can be applied to their IPC program. Incorporate new practices. Institute a pilot program to test out newly discovered processes and practices before rolling them out across the facility. Example, use of a new fluorescent marker to assess cleaning and disinfection practices. Evaluation. Conduct audits and feedback sessions for any pilot programs or other process tests in order to discover whether the new practices are appropriate or whether they need to be tailored to the facility and staff's existing processes and responsibilities. Education. As with many aspects of IPC, incorporating new findings into staff education and training programs is a strong strategy for disseminating evidence-based information to those who are in a position to put it into practice. The Armstrong Institute, part of Johns Hopkins Medicine, has created the four-step translating evidence into practice model to facilitate this process. Before beginning to use this approach, the IP must first engage a collaborative, multidisciplinary team, or teams, to help them navigate their facility's structure, policies, and practices. Different teams may be required at different times during this process. By engaging stakeholders from across an organization or facility, the IP should have access to better information, get buy-in from multiple stakeholders, and be able to facilitate the implementation of interventions. Each stage in the Armstrong model can be summarized as follows. Romig et al. Summarize the evidence. Summary can be constructed in the form of a checklist. Identify interventions associated with improved outcomes. Prioritize those with the greatest potential benefit and fewest barriers. Design changes to procedures and behaviors and put them in place. Identify local barriers to implementation. Observe HCP performing interventions. Engage all stakeholders in order to collect concerns and observations. Identify gaps and potential gains or losses from implementing changes. Potential barriers include competing priorities at unit, hospital, or possibly regional or state level, lack of leadership support, burden of data collection, challenges with sustainability. Measure performance, select process or outcome measures. Develop test measures, launch pilot tests. Measure baseline performance. Ensure that all patients get the evidence. The four yes, engage, explain to all stakeholders why the proposed interventions are important. Educate, share all supporting evidence with stakeholders. Provide ongoing education for stakeholders as new information and performance data becomes available. Execute, design a toolkit for the intervention, which will monitor barriers, standardization, checks, and notes to facilitate additional learning and training. Evaluate, conduct regular assessments of the intervention to identify additional performance measures and unintended consequences. Update training and education materials as a result, if necessary. In performance improvement and implementation science, infection prevention competencies for current and future role development, Marilyn Hanchett states that implementation science differs from QAPI in several key ways, which are summarized in Exhibit 3-36. Exhibit 3-36. QAPI versus implementation science. Source, Marilyn Hanchett, Performance Improvement and Implementation Science. Infection Prevention Competencies for Current and Future Role Development. American Journal of Infection Control 40, 2012, 304-8.